Let's open up in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that it is to be here to worship you. And Lord, as we enter into this time of the service, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive all that you have for us this morning. Our heart's desire, Lord, is that you would be pleased and glorified with this service. And so, Lord, we ask you to lead us and to continue to guide us so that that may be the case. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. During my senior year in college, I joined a business venture that involved the buying and selling of cleaning products. This company had a cleaner that was so amazing, it could clean anything. And to demonstrate that, during my sales presentations, I would take a dirty penny and I would soak it in a cap full of this stuff in such a way that half of the penny was exposed to the solution. About 3 minutes into my presentation, I would pull the penny out of the solution and it would be totally clean. Now, to make a very effective and powerful sales presentation, I would look for the dirtiest pennies, the most disgusting looking pennies, even unrecognizable, even the ones with the little green on them, you know, the rust. And I would soak those, and 3 minutes later into the presentation, and I would pull them out, and they would be like brand new, totally clean. Even to this day, I'm still amazed at this cleaner and how it can take such dirty, disgusting pennies and make them brand new again, mint condition. And then comes the realization that there is a much more powerful cleaner that can take someone as dirty and disgusting as myself and make me brand new again. And that's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only substance in the universe that can clean something as dirty and disgusting as sin. Today we're going to look at Christ's shed blood on the cross and just get a glimpse of the transforming power that it has. We start off with the question, why is blood so important to God? What's the significance of blood? Well, blood carries life-sustaining elements like oxygen and nutrients to every living cell in our bodies. Because of that, blood represents the essence of life. To shed blood means to shed life. Blood contains life to every living cell in our body, and therefore, it's sacred to God. Now, we've all heard before that sin is so offensive that it deserves death. The penalty of sin is death, which is the shedding of blood. God in the Old Testament days ordered animal sacrifices to be a covering for sin. The sacrifices made in the Old Testament never erased sin. It only covered the sinner and allowed him to live. People in those days would come with a perfect animal, and they would lay hands on that animal as if to transfer their sin onto that animal. And then the priest would take the animal, kill it, and the blood from that animal would be the covering for that particular person's sin. Even the priests back in that day had a very interesting system of dedication. During the ordination service of a priest, they would come with a ram, sacrifice it, and then take the ram's blood and cover the right ear of the priest. The right ear represented the priest's mind or thoughts, because oftentimes what we hear influences what we think. So in that way, by covering the priest's right ear, that would be a covering and a setting apart of the priest's mind and thoughts before God. Then they would take more ram's blood and they would anoint the right thumb of the priest. By doing that, the right thumb is the first finger of the predominant hand, and therefore it represented the priest's actions. So to anoint the right thumb was a covering and a setting apart of the priest's actions. Then, believe it or not, they would take more ram's blood and they would anoint the right big toe of the priest. The right big toe is the first toe of the predominant foot and therefore represented the priest's walk with the Lord. So to anoint the big toe would be a covering and a setting apart of the priest's walk with the Lord. The mind, the actions, and the walk all had to be covered with ram's blood during the priest's ordination service. Now, having said all that, let's look at the blood of Jesus and see what it has accomplished. Scripture records that Jesus has shed blood 7 times in Scripture. Each time is symbolic and is going to help us remember what his shed blood accomplished on the cross. The first time is in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It says, 8 days after Jesus' birth, he was circumcised. Here an Old Testament law was being fulfilled. Circumcision was a sign of a covenant between the descendants of Abraham and God. God wanted to take the descendants of Abraham and make them into a great nation and give them a land. And God would be their God. That was the covenant. Circumcision was a sign that they belonged to and they agreed with that covenant. Now, according to John MacArthur, the symbolism here is that there needed to be a cutting away and a cleansing. And the male organ clearly demonstrated the depth of sin and depravity because it carried the seed that would produce more sinners and depraved people. Circumcision was so important to God that the Lord sought to kill Moses for forgetting or neglecting to circumcise his son. The Bible says Moses was on his way to confront Pharaoh. This is a great moment in history. He was going to approach Pharaoh to deliver the people out of Egypt. And it says as he was approaching Pharaoh, the Lord sought to kill Moses. But because of Moses' wife circumcising their son quickly, Moses' life was spared. See, Moses moved from being under God's anger to now having peace with God. And eventually in the Bible we would see that God would call Moses his friend. Jesus' circumcision and ultimately the shedding of his innocent blood on the cross has the power to take us who were once enemies of God under his wrath, under his curse, to now making us friends with God. What a transformation. Romans chapter 5 verses 9 through 10 says, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We were once enemies of God, haters of God, under his wrath, under his curse. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, we are now transformed into being his friends. The second record of Jesus shedding blood is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44 reads, "When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground." Here we see Jesus so earnestly praying that he literally shed blood. He entered into the very presence of the Father in his time of need. And the power of the blood of Jesus enables us to do the same. This is an incredible gift if we think about it. Back in the Old Testament, in the days of the temple, there was a room called the Holy of Holies. This is where the presence of God rested on earth. And it was a thick veil as a barrier between the people and God. No one could go behind that curtain except the high priest. In fact, it was such a sacred moment that what people would do is they would take bells and wrap them around one leg of the priest, and then they would take a rope and wrap it around the other, so that when he went beyond that veil, as long as they heard the bells ringing, they would assume everything's okay. But if they didn't hear those bells ringing after a certain period of time, they would assume him dead, and they would pull him out with the rope. That's how sacred entering into the presence of God is. By the blood of Jesus, we now have access to the Holy of Holies. In fact, the moment Christ died, the veil of the temple was torn in two. We now have access to God through prayer, as Jesus did in a garden. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need." The blood of Jesus gives us access to the very throne of God. So if we need strength, by the blood of Jesus, we can receive strength. If we need wisdom, by the blood of Jesus, we can receive wisdom. If we need grace or provision, by the blood of Jesus, we can receive grace and provision. Every need we would ever have would be met in Christ's blood through prayer. The third record of Jesus shedding blood is in the stripes on his back. Mark chapter 15, verse 15 says, "So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had been scourged to be crucified." This fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." These verses are filled with language of substitution. Jesus suffered not for his own sin, because he was sinless. He suffered for the sins of others. He suffered for our sins. He was the substitute recipient of the wrath of God. Now we go back to Mark 15, verse 15, and there's something really interesting here. Pilate had a choice. He could either scourge and crucify Christ and set free Barabbas, or he can scourge and crucify Barabbas and set Christ free. But what's interesting here is some information, some background information about Barabbas. Barabbas was an insane lunatic. He was a notorious criminal, consumed with evil. He was just a real sick man. And even what his name means in Hebrew, Barabbas, bar in Hebrew means son of. So if I say, you know, this man over here is Bar Jonah, that means this man is the son of Jonah. Abba means father. Barabbas means sons of the Father. If it wasn't for Jesus, Barabbas, the sons of the Father, would have been killed. But Jesus took the beating. Jesus took the punishment so that the sons of the Father could be set free. See, the picture here is that the blood of Jesus transformed us from being sons and daughters of disobedience, consumed with evil, under the power and influence of Satan, and it's transformed us into being sons and daughters of God. We are now, by the blood of Jesus, co-heirs with Christ. We inherit all that Christ inherits. The fourth record of Jesus shedding blood is in the crown of thorns. John chapter 19, verse 2 says, "And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe." This crown was made from long spikes, up to 12 inches long. And so when they pressed this crown on his head, the spikes dug into his skull and blood came out. Just as the priests of the Old Testament anointed their right ear to cleanse or to cover and set apart their thoughts, so the blood of Jesus that poured out of his head would cover, would cleanse, and set apart our thoughts, our minds, for the glory of God. The power of the blood of Jesus gives us the opportunity to have any sinful thinking, any thoughts, washed away and our minds made new by God's word. The fifth record of Jesus shedding blood is when they nailed his hands to the cross. And just as the priests of the Old Testament would anoint their right big thumb to set apart their actions, so would the blood of Jesus that poured out of his hands cleanse, protect, and set apart our actions for God. The sixth record of Jesus shedding blood is when they nailed his feet to the cross. Like the priests anointing their right big toe, so Jesus' blood would cleanse, protect, and set apart our walk with God. See, the picture here is just as the Old Testament priests had to set apart their minds, their actions, and their walk, in the same way, the power of the blood of Jesus has done the same. The blood of Jesus had transformed us into a royal priesthood. We are priests of God, constantly offering worship, constantly offering sacrifices, constantly offering intercession to God. We represent God to the people of the world. It's a calling to make intercession for all peoples, to represent the Lord's interest and the Lord's kingdom in this dark world as a priest should. The seventh record of Jesus shedding blood is when they pierced his side. John chapter 19, verse 34 says, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." This was a complete outpouring of his perfect and holy blood. The purchase price for his bride was now complete. In the same way, if we look back in Genesis, God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, the Lord opened up his side, and out came the substance that God would use to create Adam's wife, Eve. In the same way, the second Adam, when he died on the cross, after he died, the Lord would open up his side and out would come the blood that God would use to purchase his bride, the church. The power of the blood of Jesus took us from being enemies of God under his wrath and curse to being friends with God. The power of the blood of Jesus brought us from being outcasts, separated from God's presence, to now living in the very presence of a holy God. The power of the blood of Jesus transformed us from being sons and daughters of disobedience, consumed with evil, to now being sons and daughters of God and being co-heirs with Christ. The power of the blood of Jesus transformed us into a royal priesthood, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. What made his blood so powerful was the fact that he was perfect. Jesus was perfect in submission. He was perfect in humility. And He was perfect in surrender to the Father's will. He was a willing lamb, willing to be bent, willing to be broken, and willing to do all that the Father had in mind. For us to experience the power of what we just talked about, we need to have the same disposition. We need to be willing to be radically obedient to the Father's will. We need to be willing to make costly acts of repentance. We need to be willing to surrender all. And we need to have a willingness to walk in humility. To know these things is to know personal revival, new life. Whatever area it may be in our lives, it's important to go back, bring it to God, bring it into the light, big or small, and let the powerful blood of Jesus cleanse, renew, and transform. Let's pray. Lord, we just appreciate looking back into the Old Testament ways of doing things, and we realize what a privilege it is to live in this day and age in your covenant. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for all that it has accomplished. Thank you for calling us your friends. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before you in your presence. Thank you that we can pray to you and you hear all of our prayers. Father, we thank you for the indescribable gift of your blood. Father, we just pray for the grace to have the same disposition as your Son, that we may experience all that you have in mind for us because of the blood that was shed on the cross. Father, we thank you for this time. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.